Have you ever had something that you really, really wanted? For you, it was something that was of great value, and you either worked really hard to save, maybe you picked up another job or something to be able to acquire whatever that thing was that you wanted. Well, today, we're going to take a look in the scriptures at the parable of the pearl of great price. That passage is going to come out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. So grab your Bible, come on back. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I'm so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we look once again at another one of the parables that we find in the Bible. Today we're looking at the parable of the pearl of great price that comes out of Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and turn it on over there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. We're only going to look at two verses today and then try to bring it into context. Maybe even do a little Q&A where I'll ask my own questions and give my own answers. But at any rate, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 45 and 46 read like this. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we just ask that you would give us wisdom and insight into your word. Lord, we pray that you will speak to our hearts and that we might truly be receptive to the movement of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Lord, draw us closer to you. And as always, we pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would truly be the day they would come to the saving knowledge of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless our time together, Father. Use me as your messenger. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so when we look at that particular text, I would kind of start off by beginning our Bible study with a question. You know, and the question would be, what is the main subject of this passage, of these two verses that we just looked at? Well, the passage focuses on the kingdom of heaven and its incomparable value represented by a merchant finding a pearl of great value. Remember what parables are. Parables are stories that were told to people that they can understand. They usually dealt with content that they can understand to help drive home a biblical point. So the point of this passage is it says the kingdom of heaven being incomparable value, which was represented by a merchant finding a pearl that was of great value. Now, Jesus uses a parable to describe the kingdom of heaven like a merchant seeking a fine pearl, okay? So, in the context of Jesus' parable, the kingdom of heaven is often portrayed as something of immense value that requires complete commitment. I really wanted you to pick up on that last part of what I just said. Remember, we can understand the part of the pearl being of great value or immense value. But here's something else it requires. It requires complete commitment. Man, that's something that I think that we're lacking today, oftentimes in our spiritual walks. That's a battle that you and I tend to have each and every day, because there's some days we do great, other days that we don't. So how do we take the things that we're learning from today's text and make application? Well, consider what holds significant value in your life. Yeah, how does it compare to the value that you place on the kingdom of God? Now, I'll give you just a second to ponder that for a minute, and I'll kind of rewind that question for you, because I think this kind of helps us understand where we are, okay? Remember what I said, consider what holds significant value in your life. Now, as I asked that part of the question, there were certain things that popped into your mind that you thought were things of great value, okay? So, when you think about that thing that the Holy Spirit just put on your heart, how does it compare to the value that you personally place on the kingdom of God? Now, one of the things that we must understand is, you've often heard me say this, that anything that you put before God, you make it a god. Yeah, we know that the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is a jealous God, but anything, it could be a person, it could be a thing, it could be an object, whatever it is, if you place it before God, you are making it a god. So when you consider those things that you hold as significant value in your life, how does it compare to the value that you place on the kingdom of God. Okay, why does the merchant in our story today? Why does the merchant sell everything to obtain this particular pearl? Okay. Have you thought about that? Have you put that in the context in which you're living in? What was it, and why was it that he went and sold everything so he could go after this one great thing? Well, the merchant recognizes that the single pearl of great value is worth far more than all that he currently possesses. I love to say that because I hope and pray that your biblical mind just made the spiritual parallel there. Let me go back and say it again. The merchant, the reason why he is willing to go out and sell everything that he has to acquire that pearl of great value is simply because he recognizes that this one single pearl of great value is worth far more than all that he currently possesses. In other words, he's saying, I am willing to give up all this other stuff for this one thing that has a great value to it, okay? You see, the merchant's actions show a willingness to give up everything for that one valuable pearl, all right? This reflects the necessity of recognizing the unmatched value of the kingdom of heaven and being willing to prioritize it above everything else. That's where the spiritual connection comes in. You know, when you think about and when you consider your life, and then you consider the kingdom of heaven, I hope and pray that as you consider the kingdom of heaven, that all of a sudden what happens is that you realize that everything on this earth, everything in this life pales in comparison, particularly in value, to the kingdom of heaven, which the Lord has gone to make a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. The question is, are we on that track to heaven? Are we too busy taking the time to find value in all the temporal things on this earth? Yeah, I've said this so many times, and you've heard it. I think if you've lived and breathed and have knowledge and understanding, that here's something that you've always heard. Somebody has made the statement, it doesn't make any difference how much money you've got in a bank account, you're not taking it with you. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive, you're not taking that with you when you exit this planet, okay? No matter how big your house is, no matter what your job title is, all those things are temporal things, things that are going to pass away in comparison to the kingdom of heaven. So when you think about all the things that are right here in front of you on this earth, do you find them as more value, or do your actions say that they're more value than the kingdom of heaven, which has been bought and paid for by a price through Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? Now are you starting to begin to understand the parallel that is being made in this short two-verse parable that we're discussing, okay? Think about this. Evaluate the priorities in your life. That's a good way to say it because that's a way we can understand it. As you evaluate the things that take priority in your life, are there things that you need to sell or give up to make the kingdom of God your primary pursuit? In other words, what are the things in your life in the here and now that are hindering you from being all that God wants you to be, from pursuing eternal life through Christ, from pursuing a godly walk with him? You know, too many times I've heard people sit back and say, well, you know what, I may do that Jesus thing later on, but right now I'm happy where I am because I'm enjoying what I do. And I can't tell you the number of times that somebody has said to me, well, you know, the thing about it is I'll do that a little bit later on when I'm ready to get my life together because I don't want to be a hypocrite. In other words, they're sitting back saying, I don't want to, you know, sit there and tout Jesus as my Savior, but yet my life doesn't match that. Yeah, my lifestyle, the things I do, the places I go, the things I say. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that's paramount in their life right now. Yeah, but here's the problem with that. The problem with that is that as Jesus said in his word, this night your soul could be required of you. You don't know how long you have to live. You know, why not take the chance to live for Jesus? When you start to do that, then all of a sudden you begin to understand the temporal of everything that's in your life and everything that's around you. What are the things that you have prioritized? Man, that's a telling question. That is a hard-hitting question. What are the things that you prioritize in your life? Because the things that you prioritize are the things that are the most important. Those are the things that you will pursue. Those are the things that you will invest in. Those are the things that you will spend the most time with. My question to you is the kingdom of God your primary pursuit? Okay? How does this parable illustrate the nature of the kingdom of heaven? Well, as we look at it, this parable illustrates that the kingdom of heaven is of uncomparable or incomparable value, and it demands a complete and total investment from those who seek it. Going back to the story, remember what the merchant did? It says that when he found the pearl of great price, he went and he sold all of his stuff. He sold everything to be able to acquire the money to sell out to that pearl of great value. In other words, once he took everything that he had sold, he took the money, he bought that pearl, and then what he did was, that was everything to him. It meant everything. You know, I like what I heard a folk heard some folks say one time in the past when he said, it's like sometimes people are living with one foot in heaven and one foot in the world. And that's too often what we try to do. We try to say, well, it's all right for us to prioritize some things down here that are equal to or above the kingdom of heaven, but that's not what the Lord says. This particular parable is telling us, it is giving us an illustration that the kingdom of heaven is worth the greatest price of all. And for it to be worth the greatest price of all, like this merchant, it demands, it doesn't suggest, it demands a complete and total investment from those who seek it. So really, how do we put that in modern day terms? Are you truly 100% sold out to the kingdom of heaven? Are you sold out to the Savior, and are you seeking the kingdom of heaven 100%? Or are you standing with one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of heaven? That doesn't work. It's often been called those who ride the fence. If you ride the fence, eventually you're going to fall off on one side or the other. So you're beginning to understand, you know, how this parable of the pearl of great value applies to you and I. When we look at it in a spiritual context, is the kingdom of heaven so important to you? Is following Jesus so important to you that everything else just pales in comparison and it falls by the wayside? Or have you let those other peripheral things dictate your time? Have you let those other things dictate your desires, dictate what you should be doing? When you look at it, listen, I don't have to be the Holy Spirit because I can't be, but the one thing that I can make you a promise about is this. The Holy Spirit has already shown you in your life those things that you put ahead of Him, those things that you prioritize before Him, and those things that need to take a back seat to the kingdom of heaven and the pursuit thereof, okay? So, the reputation of the kingdom of heaven parable emphasizes its importance and the radical nature of truly pursuing it. I love that word, radical. You know, radical means it's just kind of off the charts. There was a book that came out several years ago that was called Radical. It's not about being a part-time Christian. It's like, are you a fan or are you a radical? You know, you can be a fan of something and support it, but are you truly sold out to it? You know, there are a whole lot of fans of Jesus today, but there are not many of those that are radical. So again, you know, the observation that we get from this parable is that the reputation of the kingdom of heaven, particularly in this parable, emphasizes its importance and the radical nature of truly pursuing it. And when I say pursuing it, I mean going after it. I mean living what the Bible tells. I'm talking about spending time in the Word. Yeah, see, you've got to get into the Word so that the Word can get into you. You won't live for the kingdom of heaven until the Word gets in you. And the only way the Word's going to get in you is that you need to spend some time with it. You need to spend some time with the Lord in prayer. You need to seek Him diligently, because I promise you this, it is worth it. You are pursuing the pearl of great value, the pearl of great price, when you pursue a godly walk, when you pursue Jesus, when you pursue the kingdom of heaven. Okay? So, yeah, this parable suggests that understanding and embracing God's kingdom involves recognizing its supreme value. And first of all, I want to ask you, do you do that? Do you recognize the supreme value of the kingdom of heaven? Do you realize that it is of greater price than anything else in the periphery of your life? So remember, this parable is suggesting the understand, not only understanding it, but also embracing God's kingdom. And that means that it involves recognizing how valuable, how supremely valuable it is, and then acting upon that understanding decisively. It's not good enough just to say, oh yeah, that's a great thing. You know, you have to take action upon those things that the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart right now. You know, I've said so many times, and one of the things that I loved about some particular educational courses that I've taken and I've done, some other folks have taken in their life, I can still remember several of those classes that at the end of it, you know, your exam wasn't multiple choice, or in my case, multiple guess, but there was more of an essay. You had to write out what you had learned in regard to those questions. But here was the big thing. It wasn't just what I had learned. The last thing, and it literally was worth a third of your grade, was how am I going to apply this in my life? How am I going to take this head knowledge and make it become practical in the way of life in which I live? And that is exactly what God is wanting us to do. We need to understand how valuable heaven is, and we need to act upon that understanding decisively. So it means that there's some action that needs to take place on our behalf. Every time that you're in God's Word, every time that you hear a message, every time you're part of a Bible study, as the Holy Spirit enlightens you to some principles of the kingdom, it's not just good enough for you to know it, you've got to apply it. You have to begin to live it. You have to start walking in what the Holy Spirit has shown you, applying it to your life. So how do we apply that? You know, some of the things that we've learned today, simply out of these particular scriptures, how do we make application to those? Well, here's one of the things that you can do this week. You can ask yourself, what areas of your life require reevaluation to align better with the values of God's kingdom? Now think about that for a minute. Yeah, it's so funny because the Holy Spirit's already been putting those things in your heart and in your mind as you've listened to me speak today. But ask yourself, what are the areas in my life that I need to reevaluate? And not only reevaluate them, but realign them better with the value of God's kingdom rather than the worldly walk or my wants or my desires. They need to line up with the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of heaven is of such incomparable value that it demands our total commitment and our priority. We have got to prioritize things. As I thought about that comment that I just made, I can remember many times in my life, in my younger days, where you know somebody would say, "Boy, you need to get your priorities straight." And if the truth be known, you have heard that as well. You need to get your priorities straight. Well, maybe from the point of the pastor and the one leading this Bible study, maybe I'm just the voice of the good Lord today that says that's simply saying to you, man, you need to get your priorities straight. Can you do that? Well, once we understand that, once the Holy Spirit has shown us some of those things, what are some actionable things that we can do? In other words, how do we put feet on the things that we're learning, okay? This week, here's what I'd like for you to do. This week, identify one material or worldly thing that distracts you from fully committing to God's kingdom, okay? Let me say that again. This week, I want you to identify one material or worldly thing that distracts you from fully committing to God's kingdom, okay? Make a conscious decision to diminish its role in your life and replace it with practices that draw you closer to God, such as prayer, such as Bible study, such as acts of service. Maybe it's getting together with a small group. Maybe it's engaging in a specific action step, like dedicating more time to prayer. Maybe it's volunteering. You know, I sit back, and when I even think about volunteering, I think about all the things that have happened with the storm in Western North Carolina. And there's so many ways that you can volunteer to be the hands and the feet of the Lord in the life of somebody else. You know, think about that for a minute. You know, think about this shift in priority. Can you do that? Now, like I said before, I'm not the Holy Spirit. I couldn't be if I wanted to be. But the Holy Spirit has already been showing you things in your life that need to be reprioritized. Yeah, they need to drop a little bit down. Now, the other thing that I want you to understand about what I said when I was talking about an actionable step. Remember what I said? I said, this week, identify a material or a worldly thing that distracts you from fully committing to God's kingdom. And then here was number two. It was make a conscious decision to diminish its role in your life and replace it with practices that draw you closer to God. I didn't say completely get rid of it. The problem is a lot of the things that we're involved in aren't necessarily bad things, but they are things that become bad when they take the place of where God should be in our lives. When it begins to demand more of our time, when it begins to demand our talents and our efforts and our energies, and we're pulling those away from God, that's when it becomes problematic. So even good things can be distractors in your life. Even good things that you are doing or saying in your life can be those things that are distracting you from being fully committed to God's kingdom. One of the things that I've often said around our church is this, you can actually be too busy serving. I know some churches that say, man, we're begging people to come serve. Well, we are too. We want you to be able to serve. We want you to use your talent and your ability for God's glory. That is obviously something that we want you to do. But it becomes problematic when you're spending too much time in service and not enough time in worship. And that can happen. Man, I can tell you there are folks around my church that can say they've been guilty of that before. All of us can be that way. I can be that way. I have to be careful that I spend personal and private time with the Lord, letting Him teach me and draw me close. You know, it's not about me sitting back going, well, I need to get into a scripture text so I can get up a sermon for Sunday, or I can get up a Bible study. It's not about that. You see, I should be teaching and preaching from the overflow of what God has shown me from His Word. It should be completely simple to do that. Well, you know what happens? When we're not in God's Word, He's not teaching us anything, then all of a sudden those things become more problematic. What are the things in life that you have elevated above your walk with the Lord? The things that you have elevated above your service for the Lord? What are the things that you have gotten completely out of kilter? Well, hey, listen, get your priorities straight starting this week. Identify at least one. This is a start. There's probably more, but there's one that the Holy Spirit's already given you. So identify at least that one material, worldly thing that is dragging you back from being what God wants you to be. And then make the conscious decision to readjust your priorities to where that is a lower priority than what God has in your life in store as far as your walk with Him. Okay? Engage in some of those steps. Make it what God wants it to be, and not just about what I want it to be. Make it about what benefits God and the kingdom of heaven, and not necessarily what benefits you personally. And you will see a complete change. You will see your heart change in a great way. Listen, everything in front of us is not worth anything compared to the kingdom of God, the pearl of great price. Are you willing to sell out for what is most important, and that is the kingdom of heaven? I'm going to pray that God's going to give you grace and strength as you deal with what the Holy Spirit has taught you in your life. I want to go ahead and share with you what we're going to be looking at this week as far as our Bible study. This week, I want you to spend some time in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. And next week at our Bible study, we're going to discuss an invitation to a wedding banquet from Matthew 22, verses 2 through 14. So be sure to be read up and studied up on that, and we'll look forward to having you back here with us same time next week as we endeavor a look at God's Word. Now, let me have a word of prayer with you as we close out our time today, and I'm going to ask God to just help you along the way with the things that He has spoken into your life today through His Word. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to You now, I just pray that You truly will help us to evaluate the things in our lives, Lord, the things that may be distracting us from being all that You want us to be. Now, Father, we realize that some of those things may be good things. They may be important things, but when they get out of priority, they can become bad things. Help us, Father, to always keep You first. Help us to keep our walk with You. Lord, help us to sell out and be committed to the kingdom of heaven no matter what. Lord, give us grace and strength to deal with the things that the Holy Spirit has already identified in each of our lives that need to be reprioritized, that we might walk closer and better with you. And Lord, I pray that you'll give each and every person that has taken the time to be a part of this Bible study, I pray that you'll give them an extra special blessing. Lord, I pray that you will use them and speak through their hearts to other people that they may come to know you as well. So Lord, give them a great week. Watch over them and protect them as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, once again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to give you a personal invitation to come join us. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Our service Sunday service time starts at 10:45 a.m. We do have other opportunities for discipleship, not only on Sundays, but also throughout the week. We have Awana for the kids. We have some Sunday school Bible study classes. We've got small groups that meet throughout the week. We would love to have you come and worship with us in spirit and in truth. And as you get here, just come in and introduce yourself to me and say, Hey, Pastor, I've watched you on the Wednesday Bible study, and I just wanted to come up, shake your hand, and meet you. You'd make my day. I hope and pray I get a chance to see you Sunday. God bless.